Before we even kick off the podcast, I just want to remind everyone to go like, subscribe, and keep up with these weekly episodes. If you like what you hear, spread the word so more coaches can tune in for our weekly podcasts. All right, here we go. The Hog Football Podcast is brought to you by GameStrat. GameStrat is the number one sideline replay choice for the top football programs in the country. Their system is extremely reliable, easy to set up and use, and they also have the best customer service in the industry. Go to GameStrat.com to learn why more coaches keep switching to GameStrat for their sideline replay system. That's GameStrat.com. GameStrat.com.
In 2020, Athletic Recruiting, Education, and Navigation was founded with one fundamental reason in mind: to keep the high school coach as the bedrock for the student athlete as they travel through the recruiting process. With questions about when to start, do I go to junior days, or what camps do I attend? We saw one major flaw in the system: who's supporting the coach? Aaron aims to provide you with resources and information for your student athletes and their families. We keep you up to date with current trends, provide feedback on the current time frame, and engage with parents to take questions off your plate. Can you handle the recruiting process on your own? Sure, but with the demands of coaching, do you really want to? Contact Aaron today to talk about how we can be there to help you navigate the ever-changing and tumultuous recruiting waters.
Hi, I'm Coach Tony Schiffman, and welcome to the Hog Football Podcast, where we talk all things football and all things offensive line. Hey guys, I've got Coach JJ Jennings with me right now. Coach Jennings is the varsity defensive line coach, recruiting coordinator, and head wrestling coach at Victoria East High School down in Texas. Last year, he was at Woodsboro High School, got his start as a student assistant coaching the offensive line at University of Wyoming, University of Missouri, and has been a guy that him and I have talked a lot, and I'm super excited to have him on the podcast today. So, Coach, good morning. I know you guys are in the middle of summer workouts. How are things going down there with those?
It's really good, man. We got a lot of young talent here. I'm very blessed to be working with the guys I have. We have a lot of really good sophomore class who's really stepping in, taking a lot of leadership positions, and we're building off a lot of, like I said, we have a great foundation we're building off of.
Yeah. No, you need that, man. I mean, it's that foundation piece is super important because you can't build without a foundation, right? And you need that foundation. Sometimes we as coaches just want to start building these skyscrapers. And I mean, you know, without getting too technical, you know, you try to build those things, they topple over without that foundation. So that's key. That's huge. That's awesome.
Yes, sir.
So talk to me a bit, you know, you've been coaching for a while. Talk to me a bit about how the offensive line played a role on some of the better teams that you've been a part of.
Man, well, it all starts off at the front. When I first moved to Texas, I was actually the varsity offensive line coach at Gannett High School. And, man, we set the tone up front.
Right.
I don't care what anybody says. People want to, you know, all the 7-on-7 stuff. People put a lot of emphasis on the quarterback, receivers, and which is, it's good. But to me, it all starts up at the front. Like I said, when I was a varsity offensive line coach, being able to build that camaraderie.
Right.
And I think people feed off what the offensive line does, in my personal feeling, because, you know, when the offensive line is smashing people in, getting pancakes, moving them down the field, that gets a lot of people fired up. And then the running backs, they're getting their yards, quarterbacks having time to throw. To me, offensive line, you can't have a good football team if you don't have a good offensive line.
Right. And that word camaraderie is a running theme when I talk to offensive line coaches and any coach, mm-hmm. honestly, about the offensive line. They always talk about camaraderie, cohesion, you know, playing as a group. And those are the, you know, that's the teams that have that genuinely have success and have good success. And that's, mm-hmm. that's wildly important. Mm-hmm. You know, how did you get, talk to me a bit how you got your start as a student assistant, because obviously you worked at mm-hmm. two major universities University of Wyoming, and then Missouri. Talk to me about kind of how you got started as a student assistant, some of the really kind of pros and cons with that, and maybe some of the struggles you had being in that role.
So I started off as a student assistant. So I graduated high school in 2014. I took a year off to enlist in the Navy.
Okay.
I knew I was going to be a teacher, so I knew I was going to be making a lot of money. So I joined the military to get my college paid for. But I had two friends. Both of them are 6'4", 270, so they're both playing Division I ball. I'm 5'8" on a good day, and I'm 210. So you can imagine I was not going to be able to fulfill that dream with them. But I had two friends. One went to the University of North Dakota. Another one went to the University of Wyoming. And the way it kind of worked out, just the way my military benefits rolled in, I was actually able to go to school for free at the University of Wyoming. And so I got to hang out with my best friend. And basically I called up, I was able to get in touch with the staff. I said, hey, look, I'm not looking for any money. I'm not looking for anything. Just I love football. I knew coaching was my calling, and I was able to get that. And to me, there's more pros than cons.
Right.
Pros, to me, the best thing you can do after high school is play college ball. I don't care what anybody says. Playing college ball is awesome, especially at the Division I level.
Right.
But to me, I got the next best thing. While I'm going to school, getting my bachelor's degree, majoring in education, I got to get a double major in football.
Right.
So most kids, you know, they go to college, they go drink, they have fun, they party, because that's what basically college is for. For me, I'm getting out of class, and I'm going to practice.
Right.
I'm doing game planning. I'm doing scouting reports. I didn't get to do a lot of that in Wyoming. I did most of that in Mizzou. But still, at Wyoming, I just got to sit back and just watch.
Right.
Like, okay, so this is how you teach power. This is how you teach counter. Okay, so this is how you teach pass blocks. Well, if it's 3rd and 3, why would you call this play? And I really got to sit back there and just learn. And then another pros is you get to meet a lot of people, a lot of very influential people. And the old coaching saying goes, it's not about what you know, it's about who you know.
Right.
So I was able to link up with a lot of people and build my connections there. And that's what's made me a recruiting coordinator, because instead of, you know, me just talking to people on Twitter, and I can literally just when I first started, it was me just texting people on my phone saying, hey, I have this recruit, would you come talk to him, look at him? And I was able to grow my network that way.
Right.
Some of the cons, one of the biggest cons for me was I went from college to high school. You know, college, when you're in college ball, you got to leave your feelings at the door.
Right.
So, you know, if a player messes up, you're in college, you're screaming them, cussing them. You know, you don't really got to watch what you say. You're around a bunch of grown men. My biggest struggle for me, my first couple of years in high school ball, was learning how to control my mouth.
Right.
And like really toning it back. Because college ball, especially at the Division I level, whether you're SEC or Mountain West, it is 1,000%, 1,000 miles per hour, balls to the wall.
Right.
You are just going. So that's what I was able – that was one struggle for me, was learning how to control like cussing and coaching and not demeaning.
Right.
No, that makes sense.
No, dude, I'm coming from, I mean, even me coming from the D3 level back to high school. Yes. The number one thing, I got to be better with my language. No question about it. And we went through, you know, an offensive chalk talk kind of install the other day, with the players, and I went through and kind of did my whole spiel, and then afterwards, I called up my offensive line coach, and I said, how was that? And he goes, you got to remember you're coaching high school kids again. You got to I don't want to say dummy it down, but you got to simplify things for them. And yeah, that's been tough for me. And, you know, again, like I said, I'm just coming from the D3 level. I can't imagine what it would be like coming from the, you know, the Power 5, Group of 5 to do that. But it's about simplifying and making it, you know, just like everything in class, making it easily, easily attain knowledge, and making it so they can retain that knowledge and, you know, transfer it on to what you're trying to do on the field. So, no, that makes perfect sense, man. And I'm glad it's not just me. I'm glad there's others that go through that struggle.
You're basically, and the way I tell people, you're basically in a whole different universe.
Right.
Cause you know, I mean, in the college, you're doing a lot of those times. I mean, yeah, there were guys on our team who were married, guys on our team who had kids and stuff.
Right.
So you can kind of talk to them a little bit differently. But now you're with, you know, 13-year-old, 14-year-old, mama's pride and joy. And just the way, you know, the way society is these days, it's like my dad was a drill sergeant, so I was used to people talking tough to me. Like,
right.
I was used to getting screamed at, cussed out, and it never bothered me. Well, kids nowadays, I'm not saying it's a good thing or a bad thing, they just don't hear a lot of that at home.
Right.
So then when they go to practice and they hear it, it's like, wait, why is this guy talking to me like that?
Right.
So learning how to control that, and I am so much better at it. It took me a couple of years, but I'm so much better at it. And, like, one thing I also struggled with, like I said, coming from the group of five, Power Five, at 22, 23 years old, I thought I knew everything.
Right.
And I was really feeling myself. Because, you know, I went from Power Five to coaching 2A football in Texas.
Right.
When I tell you my ego was so high, and you know what? And that's probably one of my biggest regrets. It's probably why I rubbed a lot of people the wrong way in my early coaching career. I thought I was better than a lot of people. I thought I knew everything. I thought you couldn't teach me nothing.
Right.
Because, again, you're going from Power Five to this, and you're like, you know, oh, like, these guys don't know what I know. And that's probably one of my biggest regrets is I wish I would have lowered my ego when I was 22, 23, because, you know, I thought I was better than a lot of people, but in all actuality, man, I learned something new every day.
Right. Well, and you've probably found out along the way that there's probably some guys that you've interacted with at the high school level that can run circles around college coaches.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Hey, just because you got a fancy logo on your chest, don't mean you know about football. I know that. Right. Hey, I learned that very quickly. Like I said, you know, a lot of those guys in college, they get jobs just because of people who they know.
Right.
Now, a lot of those coaches, you know, they're getting paid a lot of money for a reason.
Right.
But hey, there's some coaches, man, they kind of just, they knew how to network. They knew who to talk to. And then in high school ball, you know, some guys just aren't afforded the opportunities like I was. And so maybe they didn't get their shot. But, man, there's a lot of really good high school football coaches. And even at the 2A level to 3A level in Texas, you know, there's some guys I'll walk out of a meeting like, man, I'm an idiot. You didn't get what I mean? It's like, man, I really don't know what I'm talking about. Or they simplify something or they do something. You're like, wow, like that's – how come I never thought of that before?
Right.
I mean, hey, I'm not even the best defensive line coach on my team. You know, I'm the D tackles coach. There's another, we have guys at DN's coach, Coach Lukey. I'm looking at him. He's doing stuff with his defensive ends. And I'm like, man, I like that drill.
Right.
So even today, I don't even think I'm the best defensive line coach on my team half the time. So.
That level of humility, in my opinion, is what makes you a good coach because you want to get better. You know, like you said, there's guys that, you know, just care about that logo on their shirt and they don't care about getting better. You want to get better. And that to me shows, you know, humility, maturity, whatever you want to call it. But that shows that you know, you're in the business for the right reasons, if you want to go that way, which is awesome in my opinion.
Well, it's all about the kids in my opinion. Like I said, especially when I started high school ball and like, maybe you being from college, you know, when you're in college, you're not really thinking 4, 5, 10 years down the road.
Right.
You're thinking, okay, I'm going to be here 2 years. Maybe my buddy who's the OC somewhere will bring me up with him. College ball, you're kind of just trying to rise up through the ranks and get as far as you can, as fast as you can.
Yeah.
And I kind of took that with me to high school, and that's one thing I regretted.
Yeah.
Because when I first started off in high school ball, I was like, okay, I need to be a coordinator by this time, an AD at this time. And that changed a lot for me after my second year coaching. I was like, at the end of the day, I just want to be happy. I want to do what's best for the kids.
Well, you and I are very similar. That my when I got my first head coaching job, that was kind of my thought process was do as best as you can, as quick as you can, and then see who comes calling. And that's just not how it works. I mean, honestly, that's not – and there's – sometimes it takes those opportunities and those situations to understand, hey, be where your feet are. And, the grass isn't always greener and all that stuff. But, yeah, man, I get that. I get that 100%. Sometimes it's best just to be happy for you and do what's best for you as a coach and human being. And, you know, you'll sleep better at night. You'll feel better during the day and you'll do a better job coaching the kids. And like you said, making it about them and making them the priority.
And I think, you know, coming back to, like, I had already worked in the Power Five by the time I was 22, 23.
Right.
So, like, a lot of guys, they go through their whole lives and they don't get to do that. For me, I got to do it at an early age. So, I had that, I don't know, like, kind of had that peak moment, that mountaintop moment, like, you know, watching one of the defensive linemen get picked in the first round. So, being out working with six guys who's played in the NFL. So, getting mentored by guys, by both the coach I worked for at Mizzou, they both coached in the NFL. So, like, for me, it's like, I've kind of already had that. I kind of already have what a lot of people don't have.
Right.
So for me, it's just not that big of a – it's just not appealing for me no more to climb that quote-unquote corporate ladder.
Right.
It's not that, – that doesn't motivate me anymore because at the end of the day, it's like I kind of already done a lot of cool stuff as a coach. So
right.
Now I'm more focused on trying to be there for the kids. And at the end of the day, I would like to be married, have kids one day, and I want to be a good father, a good husband.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, man, on your headstone – a good coach told me this one day, on your headstone is no one, when people come to your funeral, what are they going to say about you? Are they just going to say that guy made me a better football player? Or are they going to tell you that he made me a better man?
Right.
And at the end of the day, at my funeral, my players come to me and say, come to my funeral and they say, you know what? He may tell me something about football, but he made me a way better man.
Right.
That's, to me, that speaks volume.
No, no doubt. 100%. And honestly, and, you know, I can tell you from experience, you know, obviously you've got some time. Having that child changes your perspective about everything you're doing as a coach.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we had our little girl, my football stopped being, you know, football's still obviously my job and a priority, but it stopped being mm-hmm. the priority. You know what I mean? And it completely changed the outlook on everything I did as a coach, as a human being. Everything. So that when you get to that point in your life, that's when those are big changes right there for sure.
I know for me, because I'm not married having kids, for me it was my faith. You know, I got baptized my first year coaching, and my senior coaching, that's why I really got involved with the church. And you know, some things we read about in the Bible, and one thing we learned about, you know, God's teaching is everything you do on earth really doesn't matter.
Right.
You know, at the end of the day, whether you're the head coach at, you know, Alabama, or you're the seventh grade B team coach at a DFW school.
Right.
You know, at the end of the day, we're not going to be able to take that stuff with us to heaven. And that's something I really learned too. That's some probably the biggest lessons I learned in my life. I love football. I'll coach football until I want to coach till I die. But at the end of the day, that's not who I am.
Right.
That's not who I embody myself. I'm not just a football coach, and I'm a man of God, teacher. And I take that with me, and how can I show my players what God's love is? Can I be a good role model for them? And to me, that's what I'm more focusing on right now.
Right. No, that's what you should. I mean, I think that's fantastic. That's, again, that's going to help you feel better and make you, you know, sleep better at night and again, like you said, be just a better human being, not necessarily about football, but just be a better person for everybody.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You know, you kind of talked about it a bit, but I want to touch on it and go back some more. Talk to me about kind of what you do as the recruiting coordinator at your school, because it's something that you and I both know is starting to be a lot more prevalent on high school coaching staffs now, where they have that mm-hmm. quote unquote recruiting coordinator. Talk to me about kind of how you approach that role and what you do for your kids there.
So the recruiting coordinator role to me, and that goes back to what I said, just trying to help kids. I want to try to help kids get to the next level. Now, it's not everybody wants to play college ball. Cool. Okay, how can I help you when you graduate from here? I don't want to just see you working at Burger King or McDonald's or – how can I set you apart from everybody else? So I've been a recruiting coordinator in three or four different schools. First thing I do is I create a Twitter recruiting. So for right now, my recruiting name is Victoria East Recruiting. And what I do, I get their name. Second thing, GPA. If you want to help a kid get recruited, you got to constantly be on them about grades.
Mm-hmm.
I tell recruits minimum 3.0. The better your GPA is, the more money. Because what a lot of coaches, I don't think a lot of coaches know this, but I know a lot of players don't know this. when you play Division One ball, that's a full ride scholarship, usually. Full ride scholarship, everything's paid for regardless of GPA. But once you start getting into the Division Two, Division Three, and AIA roles, that school is going to be $40,000, $50,000. You might be getting a $10,000 football scholarship. If you want the rest of that to be covered, you have to get better grades.
Mm-hmm.
So I preach grades, and then I get, you know, height, weight, GPA, 40 time, huddle film. I try to tweet out their film. I try to tweet one kid's film a day. And then after that, you know, it's just basically, for lack of better words, it's basically stalking other coaches.
Right.
You know,
right.
Emailing them constantly, DMing them constantly. If they don't, texting them constantly. If they don't reply to you, DMing them again. Basically just staying on it. To be a recruiting coordinator, to be a good one, in my opinion, you have to want to.
Right.
Because we're not in the days to where, in my opinion, like, college coaches don't just go to players no more. You got to get their attention, because with Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, everybody has a phone. Those coaches, what's going to make you stand out the best? So, and just staying on it, being on top of it, it's got to be something you love. It's got to be a passion.
Right. No, I mean, it is. It's and again, you, I don't know how much of that you were exposed to at Mizzou and Wyoming, but it is. It's constant, man. I mean, it's, you know, obviously with the bigger schools, they've got the dead periods and they've got things like that. But it's if you want to get noticed, you got to do things to get noticed as a player, you know, as to get on those radars, because those radars are big, man. And college coaches are all over the country trying to find the next dude. So it's important too that you've got guys like you that are helping those kids, because some kids don't know what to do. I mean, we've got a player right now who's a pretty good player that doesn't have a highlight film because no one ever helped him make one. And so, you know, it's up to us as coaches to kind of get those things going and get them out and exposed to environments that they're not used to, maybe.
Yes, sir. 1,000%. You know, it's crazy because you think in the 21st century, you know, a lot of coaches would kind of know about recruiting, but a lot of coaches, I mean, they just don't.
Right.
You know what I mean? And to me, I always tell people, I think if I wasn't helping kids with recruiting or if I wasn't trying to promote them, to me, I'd be doing them a disservice.
Right.
Because, you know, you got to – college is so expensive nowadays. It's like, how – I can help this kid get a full-ride scholarship. Or if he comes from nothing, you know, maybe his parents didn't go to college, you know, they don't have a lot of money. Wow, now I'm helping this kid get a college degree, and now he can come back and take care of his family.
Right.
To me, like, it's you can truly make a difference in doing it.
Yeah, and like you said, and you can put some of these kids in better life situations, not only for them but for their families as well.
Mm-hmm. 1,000%.
You know, I noticed again talking about you, your head wrestling coach at your school. Do you feel like, and this might not be your goal in the long run, but do you feel like that position right now as head wrestling coach is going to benefit you when you do become a head football coach?
Oh, 1,000%. Because now I'm doing things I've never had. Like, I had to go to a booster club meeting.
Right.
I'm, you don't do those as assistant coaches. Or,
right.
No, now we got parent complaints. You know, I never had to deal with that as an assistant coach, or, you know, people wanting to contact you, like, trying to say, hey, is it okay if my kid misses? And
right.
I've only been a head wrestling coach now for 3 weeks, and it's like, holy crap.
Oh,
like,
really? Oh, wow. I didn't realize that. Okay.
Yeah, I just became the head wrestling coach. So,
okay.
You step into that role of, because as an assistant, you know, you kind of like, okay, my head coach has got to worry about budgeting. My head coach has got to worry about booster club meetings. My head coach has got to worry about scheduling. Now, as a head coach, you're like, holy crap, this is extra.
Right.
And then, you know, if the good Lord blesses me and I do become a head football coach, my position as a head relative coach, I can, even though I've only been at it for 3 or 4 weeks, man, it's really helped me a lot.
Right. And it will, and it does. And those, and honestly, you'd be surprised at how much your head football coach now will not necessarily look to you for some of those things, but, you know, you can help him or he can help you with that stuff to be a better, to be a better head coach, you're going to help him to be a better head coach because you know, now you know the trials and tribulations that he's got to go through that you can help out with. Not, you know, as a side note, as a, you know, side conversation, things like that, it's beneficial to everybody in the program. And, I just spoke to another coach the other day about, same situation. His first head coaching experience actually wasn't in football. It was as a wrestling coach, and then he became a football coach. My first head coaching experience was not in football. It was in track and field. So, you know, there are those pros and cons of how you can learn the lessons and then be a be a better football coach when that time comes knocking for you.
Definitely, you know, I don't know this Texas. Usually you're just not the head of football coach. You're also the athletic director.
Right.
So meaning you are an administrator. So just the stuff that goes on your plate as an AD, head football coach, maybe 5% of your time is going to be doing football stuff. I know my last school at Woodsboro, Coach Lisek, when he wasn't coaching football, he was lining the field, cutting the grass.
Right.
Changing sprinkler heads. You know, and that's also why I learned too as a head coach already. A lot of my time isn't even about wrestling. It's doing admin stuff.
Right.
Or doing Titan screws on some things. It's really not even wrestling.
Yeah. Well, and that's that's the part that as you get going, that you got to make sure you've got really good assistant coaches and make sure that you've got the support system, because 90% of the time you don't get to be a coach. You got to do other stuff. Like you said, you got to go to booster club and you got to do budgets and you got to do this and that. And so you don't get to have the fun moments that you do as an assistant coach sometimes. And it can be, I don't want to say stressful, but it's just different. It's a different level of being a coach, because you got to worry about all that stuff and not just being the football coach anymore.
Yeah. It's so much, but like I said, I'm having such a great time.
Yeah.
You know, especially being involved in wrestling. Cause now you talk about coaching offensive line. To me, if you're an offensive lineman, the best thing you can do is wrestle. Even or a defensive lineman, the best thing you can do is wrestle.
Yes.
Because it teaches you how to be on your feet, that one-to-one combat. Man, it's fun. I'm trying to get a lot of my offensive linemen to come out and wrestle this year. So, you know, we'll see.
Yeah. No, and you know, that they will. They'll get it, because it's probably for them. And I know for us at my school now, they've never really been directed that way. And so we've got a lot of kids that I keep talking to and meeting that I keep saying, hey, guess what you're doing in the winter? You know, you're going to be you're a football player. This is going to make you a better football player. Yes, it's wrestling. Yes, it's different, but be comfortable getting uncomfortable, because it's going to help you to be a better athlete, be a better football player, and be a better, be a better part of the program. So your kids will go, they'll be fine. They'll get out there, I'm sure.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Last question I got for you, you know, take your time. Feel free to answer how you want. But if you could put together a Mount Rushmore of offensive linemen, from guys you coached, guys you played with, guys you're just, you know, a fan of, who would be on that 5-man offensive line?
Oh man, that's okay. We just go off the. I have two Mount Rushmores. Guys, okay. So just my dream off. If I was an NFL offensive line coach, my left tackle would be Willie Rofe.
Oh, nice.
I was born and raised in Kansas City, so I know a little bit about Willie Rofe.
Yeah.
My left guard would be – I'm drawing a blanks on guards. My right tackle would be Bruce Matthews.
Okay.
My center would be Kevin Mawai, and I am really drawing a blank on guards right now. Oh, Will Shields would be my right guard.
Dude, I was going to say, you're Kansas City and you're not throwing Will Shields up. We're going to have a problem.
No. Will Shields, and then my left guard, Randall McDaniel.
Oh, people don't know about Randall McDaniel, man. Like, first of all, probably the weirdest stance ever.
Ever. Because he had that little cock back.
Yep.
He's like doing a stanky leg.
Yep. And then that guy, he could ball. He wasn't a big guy. He's probably only 280, but I mean, different NFL was different a little bit back then, but he could play. I got to look up when I'm done with you now. Is he in the Hall of Fame? Because he should be.
Randall McDaniel's in the Hall of Fame.
Okay, good. I was going to say, if he's not, he should be. But, mm-hmm. yeah, that's a, I like that's a good group, man. Here's why I like that group, too. You're a young man, and you're talking about guys that I watched growing up. So mm-hmm. that's well, I got mad respect for that.
And Sunday, when I was growing up, my family did not watch a lot of college football. We were Sunday people.
Yeah.
We watched the NFL in my family. Like, yeah. we don't talk during NFL games in my family. It's in the NFL, you're going to church at that point. That's right. We love football in my family.
That's awesome.
Now, my Mount Rushmores of guys I've actually coached and been yeah. around. So, my left tackle would be Yaya Durant. He was a 6'8" Philly boy at the University of Missouri. He played a couple years in the NFL.
Yep. I think I remember watching him. I remember watching him play. Did he have a very, again, unique stance where he was almost like standing straight up and down? Was that him?
Yes.
Okay.
He's so freaking large.
I remember him.
Mm-hmm. My left guard would probably be Kevin Pendleton, because he actually helped me get the job in Missouri. He was a 3-year starter at Mizzou.
Yep.
My center would be my center at Ganado, Dino Bear Ramsey. Big Dean. He was a big old mama's boy, but his mother would cook for me every Thursday and would help us sponsor lineman lunches. My right guard would be Demetrius Hunter. He was the number one ranked center when I was at West Orange Stark. I think he might be a starting center at Houston this year, but I'd put him as my right guard. And my right tackle would no doubt about it be Alex Campuzano. He was my right tackle when I was at Ganado. He talks about this story the whole time. We are in the middle of we're in halftime. And I'm trying to give a speech about, I think we're down. I'm trying to give a speech about, hey, we need to get ourselves up. He's like, coach. I'm like, what, Alex? Can you hold these snacks for me? I'm like, you've got to be. And it took him about 2 hours to get ready. He would get ready in front of a mirror because he had to look good.
Yep.
So he would like flex when he was in the middle. He had to get the face paint right. Man, he's one of the best kids I've ever been around. And I love that kid to death. So he'd be my right tackle.
That's awesome. That's good. That's a good list. I like both those lists. Definitely. That's I always like asking that question because I never get the same answer twice. And so it's always very unique from the coaches and kind of gives them a little bit of fun where they can go back and think about their career a little bit. So that's a good list.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, before I get you out of here, do me a favor, drop your Twitter handle and any other information you want the listeners to know.
So my Twitter handle, let me look it up. My Twitter handle is @Trench_CoachJJ. You know, if y'all ever need anything, just let me know. I'm pretty open about it. I've kind of been around. I've held every single job in football, from being the 7th grade B team offensive coordinator to recruiting coordinator to laundry guy to equipment guy. So, you know, I'm in a position to where I truly just want to help people. So if you ever need anything, just give me a holler and I'll try my best to help you as much as I can.
Awesome, coach. Well, I appreciate you coming on this morning, man. Best of luck to you this season. Best of luck during wrestling. Looking forward to talking again once football gets going. And you know, if you need anything from me, obviously, you know where to find me. Reach out. But I appreciate you coming on, man. And best of luck to you with everything.
Yeah, man. I got to be on a podcast with the Tony Schiffman. I'm putting that on a resume, man. I might get free food now. Stop. Hey, man. Hey. I was like, I might be getting free food now.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, you go enjoy that heat. We'll talk soon. And again, thanks again for coming on.
Yes, sir. Holler if you need anything.
All right, brother.